Nats 101, a podcast made by Nationals fans for Nationals fans. We hope to better acquaint you with the game of baseball and, of course, to help you get to know your DC Nats. I'm Susan.
I'm Frank.
Okay, so I think, Frank, I kind of want to start off by saying I know basically nothing about baseball, but you have know a lot about baseball.
I know some things about baseball.
Well, certainly more than I do.
Okay.
And over the past couple of years, you've really taught me the intricacies of baseball, and I think that that's been really helpful in my enjoyment of the game.
Okay, and I think that's why we wanted to do this podcast to begin with, because we had had plenty of conversations from the very first time that we went to a baseball game together almost 4 years ago to now, where the varying level of questions has kind of come up, and I've answered them to the best of my ability, and sometimes had to go look them up, and we think that DC might be, as a whole, in the same kind of situation, where DC has only had a team for 7 years. There was no team before that. A lot of people come from places that aren't baseball towns. I come from Rochester, New York.
I'm from Indiana, so
yeah, we do have baseball teams, but they're not big league teams. And you know, we're definitely more football, basketball, and hockey towns. And then you come here and you're thrown to a baseball game. What was the first game that we went to? Tell me about your first experience.
Well, the first time you asked me out, and we went to the Nats game about 4 years ago. And frankly, I really only kind of went for the hot dogs and beer.
Yeah, which is, I think, the
company wasn't bad, but really the food.
Well, then you married me. I win. And so I think that the reason a lot of people get started in baseball, especially as children, is yeah, you're going to get some food, you're going to get a baseball hat, and you're going to see some people running around. And then as you watch more of it, you tend to get more involved, and that's where the real enjoyment of the game comes in.
So. Right, and as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I truly enjoy the game now. Beforehand, it was boring. But
it can be hard to watch if you don't know.
Very long. very, very long.
And be excited about it, everyone.
Yeah. So over the past couple of years, there was a lot of eye rolling and, oh, gosh, another baseball game. But especially this past year, I really kind of started to understand a lot better all those intricacies. And so I truly enjoy the game. I really enjoy going to the games. Not so much watching, but really going to the games and seeing all
watching
those,
the games when you go.
Watching the games when I go. Thank right. you for that distinction. Yeah. Because there is a difference, as everyone at the Red Porsche might know.
Yes.
So we would like, since it's a Nationals podcast, I think we should start with a Nationals update. What's going on with the Nats right now?
The word on the street with the Nationals, very, very good. They have the best record in baseball. It's April 25th, by the way. And they have the best record in baseball with 13 wins and 4 losses, excuse me. And they've just dominated people since the get-go.
Right. It has been amazing, especially over the past couple of years where I kind of watched them not do so hot. It's really nice to see them be so powerful right now. And, I mean, I can, in my little knowledge, I do see that the pitching has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, the pitching is the big deal. We're going to talk a little about it now, but we're going to have podcasts dedicated to all the different aspects of the game. But as a beginning, the Nationals are a pitching team, and they are an astronomically amazing pitching team right now. They are absolutely pitching lights out. Batters can't find the baseball. It's either going by them 100 miles an hour, or it's curving off the plate the last second. They just, lots of strikeouts, lots of singles, not many home runs, crushing it.
So you kind of answered my next question, which I had lined up, was what makes their pitching stand out. But it's really just putting the ball in the place where the batters can't get to it.
Or it's kind of as simple as that.
Yeah.
And K Street. I mean, K Street being a big, important lobbyist street in D.C. and K being the shorthand for a strikeout in the baseball parlance. So K Street, we've been striking out a lot of people. People can't catch up to the ball. And then when they do, really great defense from the infielders and the outfielders too. Even when people do hit it, they're getting to the ball, they're throwing it over, they're making outs.
Very nice. So, K Street, very clever.
Yes, Citizens of Natstown came up with K Street.
Oh, Citizens of Natstown, okay.
That's the advanced podcast for when you're ready to talk about real, real baseball.
All right. Well, let's move on to some baseball basics. So, many of you may have gone to a baseball game before. Many of you may not have gone to a baseball game before, or maybe even watched one. Taking it from a perspective of someone who's never been to a baseball game or who's never watched a baseball game, what are the kind of things that person might be looking for?
Okay. I think we're going to assume that people understand the most basic of rules, 9 innings, 3 outs per inning per team, which gives you 27 outs over the game, that when you hit, you're going to go from base to base around the diamond and score a run. When you're standing on a base, that's when you're safe.
Yeah. If I knew that, I think other people would
right.
know that.
If you don't know that, by all means, write in and we'll do an absolute bare bones podcast on the beginnings of baseball. But when you're there and now you're ready to kind of start appreciating baseball because you've got your beer, you've got your hot dog, you've had happy hour, you've chit-chatted with your friends, and now you're turning your attention to the baseball game. It's strange, but the quietest part of the game, the pitch, is in fact the most important part of the game. That's where all of it happens. So if you're new to the game and you really want to find out what's going on first, the best place to start is to watch that exchange from the pitcher to the catcher. What the pitcher's trying to do, throw the ball where the batter can't hit it. The batter's trying to hit the ball. It's that one-on-one matchup. Watching pitching on TV sometimes helps out a little because they can show it on an angle that a lot of people don't get at the ballpark. What you want to look for in pitching, pitchers are trying to pitch the ball low. They're trying to pitch the ball outside. They're trying to pitch the ball high. They're trying to get just over the base of the plate. There's something called the strike zone. We'll talk about that later. But they're trying to pitch just on the edge of that so that a batter doesn't get a good, solid contact on that ball, if he does make contact at all. So when you're talking about pitching, that's kind of what you're looking for. That's the first place.
Okay, but what about the offense? What about when the Nationals are up at bat? What should we be looking for?
What you're looking for is you're looking for the pitcher to miss a lot. When the pitcher misses outside or misses low or misses high and they start collecting balls, then they're going to start throwing the ball more over the plate. So even though you're watching batting, you're still watching pitching.
Okay.
Then what you're looking for is actually what you're listening for. You're listening for solid contact on the bat. When the ball hits the bat square, you can hear it anywhere in the park.
That crack.
That big crack and that ball goes flying. Sometimes it ends up in the bottom of a glove. Sometimes it gets, you know, dragged along depending on whether they caught it square or not. But that's pretty much what you're looking for. Even if a batter isn't making hits, if he's making that solid contact, chances are later he's going to get some hits. So you're looking for guys to get on base. Then when they're on base, you're looking for them to get to second or third base. Second and third is what's called scoring position. Most professional baseball players can score. They can get all the way home from second to third on a hit. That's what you're looking for on the offense. You're trying to get your guys on and then trying to get them over and then trying to get them home.
Okay, so those are some pretty good basics of what to look for baseball-wise. But going back to the Nationals, who should we be looking out for? What are the big players right now?
Well, the big players, and then there's the starting lineup, which again, there's 9 people on the field when they're defensively on the field. And so what we could do, and since you do actually know the names of the players, I think it would be fun if we went and I named the position.
Okay.
And you told the people what the player was. And then if you know anything about the player, great. Otherwise, I'll fill in the blanks.
You might just have to fill in the
blanks. Okay, so let's you got the pitcher, and we're going to talk about pitchers later, so let's just skip pitchers for now. The first one we're going to go to is the catcher's mound. The catcher.
We got Ramos and Flores.
Right. Wilson Ramos, who was kidnapped this fall, winter. He played winter ball in Venezuela, which a lot of players do to fill up the time to work on their stuff in the off season. And he went home to South America and got kidnapped for a few days. But everything worked out okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Everything worked out okay. They just wanted some money. And from what I understand, they got him back kind of once they realized that he was a really important guy. He is a young guy. He's going to be a really good guy. He's played very well. And then Flores is another pretty young guy who came up through the Nationals and is his backup. Catching is a tough spot to play the whole year. A lot of times you need a solid backup because they're wearing all that gear.
Yeah, and you're crouched down the whole time.
They're crouched down all the time. Sure. There's some metric about they lose 10 pounds a game or something just in water weight from all the
I should
sweat.
Be a catcher.
Yeah. Well, it goes right back on because they get hungry. Okay, so first base. Who's playing at first base?
Adam LaRoche.
Adam LaRoche was injured last year, and he's sandwiched between two guys who played first base who are really big home run hitters. He's not a big home run hitter, but he's a big hitter. And he's gotten a lot of runs this year. He's been one of the few guys really hitting the park. One of the problems with the Nationals this year, we didn't talk about it, they're not scoring a lot of runs. The few runs they're scoring, a lot of them are coming from Adam LaRoche. The other thing he does, he's got really great arms, and he can reach out and catch the ball at first base. So when people are throwing it to him,
he can reach out and grab it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be as on target with your throw if you have a guy who can reach out.
Ah, sneaky.
Yes. Second base.
Hold on. Yeah. I just want to tell everybody that I do not have anything in front of me that is giving me
the answers. That's true. You don't have anything in front of you. You did invent a song that helps you remember the name of the players.
That I did.
But they're not. That song is not currently in front of you.
No, that's
correct. So, second base.
Espinoza.
Mm-hmm. Danny Espinoza. Very good fielding player. Struggling with the bat right now. But they expect him to be a really good second baseman. Not a lot of things get by him. They figured he could play shortstop, which is the next position.
Ian Desmond.
Ian Desmond is more or less Superman as far as I'm concerned.
He's had some amazing plays this season. Yeah.
He started off really
amazing plays.
He started off a few years ago swinging the bat really well, but making a lot of errors in the field, meaning he was missing the ball a lot. Then he corrected a lot of the errors, but couldn't hit as well. Now he seems to have a lot of both in... He seems to have a lot of everything under control. He's getting on base a lot at the top of the order. Very important, as we said, and having people push him over. And the errors have been cut down. Third base is next, but let's skip that.
Okay.
And let's go to the bonus round, which is the outfield.
For
the Nationals is a bit tricky. You've got left, right, and center field. And you've got a couple of guys that are switching around. So which ones can you name?
So left, right, and center, obviously. Quick question about the outfield. So which perspective is it? Which side is left?
which left is left, right?
Which left is left?
It stage left or audience left?
Exactly.
Yes. It's from the catcher's perspective. So you're standing behind home plate and you're looking out and left field is to your left and right field is to your right. Center field is in the center. So three outfielders, but we have at least four or five guys playing it right now.
Worth, Ankiel, DeRosa, and Nady.
Nady. Those are the guys that have been playing now, yes. Jason Worth came over from Philadelphia with a huge contract. Underperformed a little last year, let's say, but he pulled it together, and I think he's a veteran, and he's good with the club leadership. Center field, Rick Ankiel. My highlight of the week, by the way, is Rick Ankiel throwing the ball through the air from center field to the catcher without it skipping. Got a standing ovation at Nationals Park.
As he should.
And there was a guy on third base, a very fast guy named Jose Reyes on third base, who could have easily scored on 99.9% of the center fielders in the league. Rick Ankiel used to be a pitcher. Completely fell apart as a pitcher, rebuilt himself as an outfielder, and continues to play baseball at a pretty high level. And he has definitely saved runs this year already. And then left field is... kind of the toss-up right now. Mike Morse, big home run hitter. He's injured for the next few weeks. You've got Xavier Nady, Mark DeRosa kind of out there, Steve Lombardozzi out there. These are utility guys. Lombardozzi's a young guy who's going to maybe make the team or be traded because he's so good to get some other players back. But those guys are all just kind of filling in right now, and it's kind of hard to say that one of them will be it. The other outfielders of note, Roger Bernardina.
Sharkadina.
He's fast. He hits all right. He's got some issues with consistency, but everybody loves him because he's the shark.
Yep.
I don't know why he's the shark, but there's people with shark hats running around.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All I know is he is the shark, and there's no other nickname for him. and then a certain guy, a young guy, his name is Bryce Harper. He's 19 now. And
very young. Okay, yeah. So not just like 23 young, like 19 years old and young. Okay.
Yeah, and he's going to be the next, you know, if all goes according to plan, he's going to be the next legend Hall of Famer, you know, superstar, home run hitter, crazy nuts. And the only reason he's not here is because he's 19. He's playing in the He's playing in the minor leagues right now. He still has a few things to learn. But when he gets there and Michael Morse gets back, the outfield's going to be set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some good stuff to look forward to then.
Rick Ankiel was my highlight, and I wanted to ask you, since you're newer to the game, what was your highlight of the season so far? Maybe we'll do this weekly.
Okay. Season being only 2 weeks old, I think having – and I've been to quite a few of the games because they had the Nationals had about 10 home game stretch, and so I got to see about 5 or 6 of those games actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to say that I think the highlight for me so far has been the complete game by Edwin Jackson against the Reds in that first series. It was just, everyone was on their feet. Everyone, the energy was amazing in that moment where Edwin Jackson had pitched all nine innings it was a very low score. So the Reds had not gotten in.
I don't think he gave up a run. I'm going to look it
Maybe
up.
Not. He might not have. But it was just a really fun moment. And it was also very nice to see all the fans really give him great credit.
Right. He gave it. Yeah.
And I think that's also, you know, like you had said at the beginning of the podcast, that DC's new to baseball. And so they've been slowly building up their fan base. And I think this was maybe one of the first moments that was kind of like, okay, baseball has arrived. Almost.
I feel like though, certainly the first weekend, and some of the next weekend, very big on the homestand. And the fact that they were cheering him and they were cheering Ankiel on his, on his throw shows that they're educated and that there's a new energy around baseball. He did give up a run for completeness's sake. Excuse me.
So. Well, still.
He won 4-1 with 92 pitches. Complete games are a rarity now because there's so many specialty relievers that come out of the bullpen. You know, starting pitchers just have to get you through the first six or seven innings, and then those last couple of guys can close it out for you. And then there was the night before was the 13-inning game.
Oh, that's right.
And they basically used everybody in the bullpen. They're human beings. Those people have to go to bed, get up, come back to the park the next day and pitch again. And your arm's tired the day after you've thrown 100 miles an hour a couple times in a row. So for him to give those guys a rest and to get all the way through the game, absolutely
that was just a really fun moment.
A shining moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go take a step back.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a section that's called Get to Know a Nat.
Yeah.
Where we get to know one of the Nationals players. Yeah. And we did not talk about the third baseman, Ryan Zimmerman.
Right.
So let's chat about him. He's our Get to Know the Nat of the Week.
All right. Ryan Zimmerman, the face of the franchise. If you know one National, you should know Ryan Zimmerman. He was he's 27 years old, for those who would
he's
like
young.
To. He's young. He's young, and he's...
not as young as 19, but he's young.
He's not as young as 19, no. But he was the first draft pick by the Washington Nationals when they moved to D.C. So in 2005, they picked him, I think, 11th? They picked him early, and he not only picked him early, but he panned out and happens to be an exceptional player.
Pretty good, yeah.
Possibly the... If you were to say he was the third... He was the best third baseman in the league, you wouldn't be wrong. You could argue about it with about other people, but you wouldn't be wrong to have that discussion. He's won the Gold Glove, which is for defense. If you watch him over on the third base side, he is... Anything,
he's quick.
It's called the hot corner for a reason, because those balls come in fast to third base.
You gotta make a lot of plays there, yeah.
And then you've got to whip it all the way across the field to first base. And he does. He gets him on the line. He jumps up for him. He ranges. And then to watch him run and throw the ball almost without looking to first base is, and he makes it look routine, makes it look absolutely amazingly easy. He's got just under 500 RBIs, or runs batted in. When we talk about batting,
yes,
we'll go through a bunch of the acronyms. He's won the Silver Slugger Award for batting twice. He's been an All-Star in 2009. He was an All-Star in 2009.
Sounds like a pretty good resume.
Yeah, he's got an exceptional resume, and he's going to be a Washington National for at least the next 6 years.
That's right. He signed a really big contract recently for 6 years, $100 million, with the option for an extension for... 1 year?
$24 million.
An additional $24 million.
Very good for memory. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that early. I had pulled it up to just to make sure. Yeah, so he's one of the highest paid third. He's actually the second highest paid third baseman behind Alex Rodriguez, who makes way too much money. But Ryan Zimmerman, he's worth a lot of the money when he's healthy. And when we were talking about the Nats update, I almost brought it up then, but we'll talk about it now. He's injured right now. They're saying he might only have to sit out for a couple of days, but it's been a bit of a scary little stretch because he is injury prone. He doesn't get the same injury over and over, so people aren't worried like, oh, he's got a bad knee and he'll never play. But he does get injured a lot. So hopefully this will, you know, pick it up and he'll be all right and it won't actually turn out to be a real problem.
Right. So currently he's taking some time off right
yeah,
now.
The optimistic is something with his shoulder. They're saying it's inflammation, which is good because inflammation goes down. It's not necessarily a tear or anything like that. Maybe we'll do an injury podcast too, because there's a lot
good.
Of stuff. And we have some prominent players who've had some prominent injuries.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But hopefully if it's inflammation, you know, some extra strength Advil for a couple of days and some ice and he'll be back in back in playing.
Yeah, sure. I hope he's back soon. I mean, he really is a pivotal player for the Nats and playing that.
And a pivotal leader. He's all those. He's the original Nat, more or less, and all those guys in that clubhouse look up to him.
Yeah, I hope. I'm happy that we'll be seeing him for the next 6 years.
Yes, as am I. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for our first podcast.
Yeah, I think that's that ties it up nicely.
Yeah, we've done some basics and we've talked about the Nats a bit. We're going to have plenty of other podcasts about very specific topics. We will definitely try to make it relatable and understandable. We're going to talk about pitching. We're going to talk about batting. It's a lot more than just throwing the ball over the plate like we talked about today. And we're going to get to all that stuff.
That sounds great.
Fielding. I think the next one we want to do is baseball etiquette.
Who would have thought that there was actual ethics? But I guess there are. There's etiquette when you go to a movie theater.
Yeah, you go to a show and you don't stand up in front of the person who's behind you. Stuff like that. And with new fans, and especially with Philly coming in around the corner, going to be important for us to be at our politest. And or at least
that would be good. So yeah. I think that'll be our next one.
Or at least know how to jeer properly. I think we're going to do that, and we're going to also take your questions and suggestions. The way you can get a hold of us, you can email us, nationals101@gmail.com. You can tweet us, nationals101@nationals101. And then our blog, where we're going to be posting the feeds, and eventually we're going to get into iTunes, but the blog is nationals101.wordpress.com. So if you look up nationals101,
you'll get a hold
Gmail,
of us
Twitter, WordPress, that's pretty much it. Anything else?
No, I think that sounds good. I'm looking forward to doing the next episode and helping our listeners out there understand the game more.
Yes. Please let us know what you thought. We're happy to take suggestions. Other than that, my name's Frank.
And I'm Susan.
Have a great one.
Bye.